Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Glory to God in the highest. When you get through visiting, find you a seat. When you, we're not in a hurry. We got all the time in the world. Praise the Lord. Jesus is good, isn't he?
Amen.
He's good. Praise the Lord. We hope that everybody got their hand shook by at least two or three or four people. We want to let you know that we love you, especially if you're a visitor. We don't love you anymore. We do everybody else, though, so praise the Lord. We just want to make sure you got your hand shook. Praise the Lord. So glory to God. Welcome to the Living Savior Church. It's good to have each one of you here today. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. It's so good to know Jesus. It's so good to know Jesus. So praise the Lord. I'm telling you, I just stand amazed at the people that don't know what's available through the Word of God. It just blows me away. And now let me ask you this question before we get started here. How many of you would like to be prosperous in your life? Now, how many of you want to be successful in your life? How many of you would like to be no sickness in your life? Wow, you know, so everybody holds up their hand. So maybe my message is for you today. Because the Word of God teaches that, you know, and it's amazing how many people believe that all of the power of God's Word went away with the apostles. Isn't that something? We hear that story all the time, don't we? I want us to, if you want all of that for you and your children, and I, that's what I want. I want to be prosperous. I want to be successful. I want to be healthy. You know, I want to have no sickness and no disease. I want my family to have no sickness and disease. I want us to be blessed. I don't want us to have to dig around trying to find enough money to buy groceries for this weekend, you know, or if a guest comes by. I don't want to be so poor that I can't bring them in and feed you. You know, I'd like to have enough to meet all the needs, wouldn't you? So the world, what does the world tell you if you want to do that? What's the world tell you to do? Work harder. How about send your kids to college? You know, make sure they get a good college degree. And, you know, and if you want them to be prosperous and successful, they got to be a lawyer or a doctor or something. You know, you never could be a plumber or a mechanic or nothing like that. You know, those people, you know, they don't make it in life. So, yeah, I mean, that's what people tell you. Well, I mean, tell you, I was a mechanic for many years of my life, and I haven't done so bad. I'll tell you what, when you learn, my daughter-in-law was telling me one day that my son borrowed my pickup and went to Austin, and while he was down there, the alternator quit working. It wouldn't, of course, he didn't realize the little gauge quit charging, and so he drove it to the hotel, and the next morning when he went out there to get in it, well, it wouldn't crank. And so he had to call a garage, and they come over and checked it and said the alternator wasn't working, so they towed it to the shop, and they put another alternator on it, and time they got it fixed and everything, it cost him $350 to get my pickup fixed. Well, you know, those people got to make a living too, right? And so it wasn't but about two or three or four months later, he told me he has a Suburban that they drive, and he says, Dad, the battery light is on my Suburban. I took it over to Walmart. They put a new battery on it, and its battery light's still on. I said, well, son, the battery light doesn't mean there's nothing wrong with the battery. It means the alternator's not working. He said, well, I didn't know that. And so it's hard to believe that my son could have been raised up in my home with me being a mechanic. He don't know that, but he didn't know that. He's not a mechanic, I'll tell you for sure. And so I said, okay, I said, just let me come over and check it. So we went over and checked it, and he brought it over here to me. And as I checked it, sure enough, the alternator was not putting out. I said, well, you know, usually the only thing that goes wrong with the alternators are brushes. And so I took the alternator off and pulled the little brush holder out. And that one's so simple, you can get the brushes out without even taking the alternator apart. I took the brushes out, and sure enough, they wore completely out. So I said, let's run over here to DC Starters. They rebuild that stuff so I can buy just the piece. You go to an automotive parts set, they want to sell you a whole alternator for a couple of $100. So we go over to DC Starters, and he, sure enough, he has everything. And I hand him one of the little brushes. I said, you got a pair of these? Yes. He handed them to me. I said, how much? He said, $2. So I come home, put the new brushes in the alternator, and put it back on the car, and cranked it up, and it's been working perfect ever since. And my daughter-in-law told me, said, "Dad, I'm glad Preston is a little mechanically minded, because Timothy, my husband, is not mechanically inclined." So I said, "Every time you work on something, I'm going to send your grandson, my son, over to let you teach him how to work on cars," because he said, she said, "Every family needs at least one mechanic." She said, "Anytime you can fix our car for $2 and Tim had to pay $350, he said, "I think you get paid pretty good for what you do." So, you know, it's amazing what you can do. And when you find a good mechanic, hold on to him, right? You know, and Kim's patting her husband on the shoulder here. "Praise God, I got a good mechanic," she says. "He can fix anything." Every family needs a mechanic, right? And so, but you know, the world will tell you that that's not the thing to do. They want you to go out and get educated and become very knowledgeable in certain fields so that you can make big bucks and all that kind of stuff. But how many of you have ever known somebody that went out and did get a good education and maybe did make quite a bit of money for maybe till they're 40 or 50 years old, and then they come down with cancer and died? You know, have you ever seen that happen before? It happens all the time, you know. So blessed is the man, you know, that the Lord gives the prosperity to and then gives him the health to enjoy it. And, you know, that's a wonderful thing to have that. But I'm going to tell you, to be able to walk there and to live there, there's some requirements. It doesn't just automatically happen. So today I'm going to show you some of these promises. How many of you know that the Word of God is the true Word of God? You know, and it means what it says, right? It's not just some book that we have. It is the Word of God. So I want us to go to Joshua chapter 1, verse 8, and I want to show you what God says we need to do to be prosperous and successful. So look what it says in Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. "This book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate therein day and night." Now that seems like a whole lot, doesn't it? "That you may observe to do according to all that is written therein, for then you shall make your way prosperous, and then you shall have good success." So, what is it, according to God's Word, that's going to determine whether you're prosperous and successful? The Word. Are you willing to spend that time hiding God's Word in your heart so you can be prosperous and successful? Now then, I think about this young lady here in town that I know. I won't call her name, but she was a pretty good friend of mine. She was a young woman, and she used to go to the Baptist church up here. I went to the Baptist church for many a year here in Justin, the First Baptist Church. You know, I was a deacon there, a Sunday school teacher, all kinds of things, but this little girl, I did not know until I saw her sister in the post office the other day that she had passed away. And when I saw her and I said, you know, in fact, my son told me that this little girl died. And I said, "I can't believe I didn't even know about it. Nobody even told me." I said, "I know her so well, I would have thought she would have contacted me since she knows what I teach. I'm a healing teacher. And see, God do lots of great and wonderful results in the area of healing." So anyway, when I saw her sister in the post office the other day, I said, "I'm so sorry. I heard that your sister passed away." I said, "What was wrong with her?" She said, "She had breast cancer." I said, "Which breast?" She said, "The left." I said, "She had an unforgiveness toward a female member of the family." She said, "Oh, yes, she had a gross unforgiveness toward mother." See, I happen to have learned over the years that that's why women get breast cancer. Now then, I didn't learn that going to college. I didn't learn that reading magazines. I didn't learn that watching television. I learned that reading God's Word. And I could not tell you in my lifetime how many hundred women I've seen healed with breast cancer. But a lot of them, where did I learn all that? Reading God's Word, yeah, reading God's Word. I've learned, you know, that's where the power is at, in the Word. And you have to take the Bible exactly as it's written and believe it, and then repent of your sins and believe. Now then, one thing I have really seen that really is difficult. Now, this is the most difficult thing. I talked about this in the healing school yesterday. The one thing that we fail to realize about God, but yet we all know this, that He is a faith God. And without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Now then, if you don't please Him, what do you think you're going to get from Him? Nothing. Now, this is the real troublemaker. When we come for healing, like yesterday to a healing school, and we had a man come up yesterday and give a testimony. He was here the month before, and he had a sleep problem, and he was taking all this medication so he could sleep, so he could drive a truck. Well, after he come to the healing school, he realized that if he believed God, if he really believed God, he had to be prayed for in faith, and then he had to stop taking the medicine. Now, that's a kicker. You know, people, what? I can't, you know, you want me to stop taking my medicine? Well, I will have to say, if you cannot get to the point where you have the faith to stop taking medicine, chances are you ain't going to get healed. It's very, very, very rare that people get healed when they trust the doctors. Now, I know that lots of people don't believe that, but you know, I can confirm that from the Word of God. Jesus clearly said in His Word that when you come to Me and you ask Me for something, you must pray in faith, nothing wavering. Somebody said, well, I've never read that verse. Well, let me show it to you. It's in James chapter 1, verse 6 and 7. I want you to see what this verse says. Now, I read this verse a lot of times. But let him ask in faith, how much wavering? Do you realize when God says nothing wavering, do you know He means that? Now then, if I waver, I'm going to take the medicine. This is tough. Walking in faith is tough. Now then, just like that young man, he said, you know, I realized after hearing you talk, after I was prayed for, I had to believe, just like that scripture Dave put on the board a while ago, Mark 11:24. Whatever you desire, when you pray, you must believe. Well, he said, I believe. And so he said, as he left, I thought, he said he thought to himself, well, if I believe Thurman's prayer and I believe God's word, then I've got to stop taking the medicine and just stand my ground for my healing. He said that first night, it was hell. He said, who heard his testimony yesterday? Some of you heard that. Now, a few of you did. Okay, not many of you, but a few. He said it was tough. I mean, boy, he was come against wildly, wasn't he? He said the second night was a whole lot better. The first night was really tough to be able to go through that night and not sleep hardly at all, but to think, I cannot take that medicine. If I take that medicine, I have no faith. And if I'm standing my ground, then I trust God. I do not cast away my confidence in the Word, but I'm going to trust the Lord. So he said, I went through the first night and I made it. He said the second night was a lot easier, the third night was a lot easier, and the night after that was a piece of cake. And he said, I've been sleeping perfect ever since. Yeah, he got up and gave his testimony yesterday. You know, and then I told the story about Weston Blair yesterday. You know, how Weston, when he came to me, I mean, if it's sleep, that's one thing. But if you've been diagnosed with stage 4 lymphoma cancer in every organ of your body, and the doctors say you got a few months, maybe 2 or 3 months left to live, do you know that that's a big one? You know, if the doctor says, I'm sorry, you got cancer and you got 2 or 3 months and it's over, you're out of here. So he came to me, he had heard about us, and he came out here and he told me a circumstance, and I told him, I said, Weston, we've learned here that there's a cause and effect with everything. In other words, I've asked this question. Whenever I was growing up in the Lord, I said, Lord, why is one little lady healthy and another one sick? This one here, she's walking in obedience. Well, I don't know whether she's walking, but she has got no sickness. But this one over here is down in her back. Now, see, what I'm telling is a real story. You know, this girl here, this is her. you appear to be in perfect health. And this girl here, she was down in her back. But she'd been for years. She'd had a problem with her back. Now, why? I don't know why. But I'd say, Lord, there's got to be a reason. Why is people down? Why are people sick? Why did one person get sick and one person doesn't get sick? Well, as I began to read and study the Word of God, I began to learn that it was always a sin issue. Now, when we think about sin, we think immediately about murder and adultery. You know, you got to have that kind of sin. All you got to do is just not believe God's Word, and that's a sin. And that'll keep you from getting healed, won't it?
That's right.
It did her. I mean, this couple, they went to church, they loved God, you know, they served God, they did everything right, they thought, but she didn't believe. And then they finally heard about me one day, and they come to Dallas, and, you know, it's amazing how it happened, but even in her unbelief that day, you know, God healed that girl. She's been healed ever since.
Hallelujah.
And so, you know, so He is a merciful God, isn't He? You know, in other words, the reason I say that is she wanted to get healed. She was believing for healing, but she was afraid to come up to be prayed for. And so God knew it, and so He healed her at her seat. You know, she didn't have to come up, and she got healed. Because she's afraid if she come up that she might fall down, you know. And she didn't like that. She'd seen that on TV, and she didn't want to fall down. So she just wouldn't come up, so she stayed at her seat. And God, does God know everything?
Oh, yeah.
He knows everything. So she didn't have to come up, so she got healed. So anyway, in the process of all of this, I'm asking the Lord, Lord, why is it that one person is sick and another one, you know, is not? And He began to reveal to me in the Word where it was sin. You know, He said, that's what's wrong with my church. They're so involved in sin. And of course, He said, the greatest sin in the church is unbelief of my promises. Now then, we live in unbelief of the promises, just like that scripture we read a while ago. If we want to be prosperous and successful, and all of you said you did, if you want to be prosperous and successful, then why don't you teach your children the Word of God as they're growing up instead of preparing them for high school and college? Why don't you prepare them with the Word of God? Teach them to obey God's rules. Because I didn't see anywhere in that scripture where it said prepare them for high school or college, either one. Did you? But it said you'll be prosperous and successful if you obey His Word. Is that right? So if I obey God's Word, because just think, and this is what so many people today in the world we live in today is so prevalent, that sexual immorality is everywhere, even in the church. I mean, I see people in the church living together all the time. And so, you know, every time I think about this kind of situation, I think about the little 15-year-old girl that moved in here in Justin with a boy, and her daddy came to me and told me, Thurman, would you please go talk to my daughter, talk some sense in her? She's moved in with a boy. And so I said, okay. So I go over there and I sat down with that couple, and I tell them, I said, honey, I know you're a Christian. I was in church today. You walked down the aisle, gave your heart to Jesus. But I said, son, how about you? No, I'm not a Christian. I don't want nothing to do with that just stuff. I said, well, honey, first thing, God told you not to be unequally yoked with an unbeliever. So I said, here you are living and have moved in with a boy. It's an unbeliever. So I said, you're breaking God's rules. Now see, in Joshua 1:8, it said, so you'll learn the rules and obey the rules. You will be prosperous and successful. Is that what He said?
Amen.
But you have to obey all of His rules. Well, if you don't know His rules, is no sexual immorality among my children. Zero. But that's what He says, wasn't it? So I don't know whether she hadn't read that or if it didn't make any sense or whatever, but so she would not do it. She would not hear what I had to say. Well, a few months later, this little girl gets pregnant, of course, and she brings a little baby into the world, and thank God the child was normal. And then every time she got pregnant, her daddy would send me over there to talk to her, and it didn't do any good. So in a 5-year period, I went 3 times and sat down and told this girl what she's doing is wrong. She needed to quit. And I told her what the scripture said would happen to people that defile their temple. Now then, I want to show you in 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17 what the Word says. That scripture we just read there, when it says, ask in faith, nothing wavering. Do you think God means what He says?
Yes.
Absolutely. Know you not that you are the temple of God, and the Spirit of God dwells in you? Now, that's supposed to be every believer, right? He said, know you not that. He says, if any man, now this is woman too, If any man or woman defiles the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are. In other words, your temple that you're living in is a holy temple if you're a child of God, right? And God expects you to keep it that way. And so he said, if you defile your temple, and of course, one of the things about sexual immorality, that is the only sin, he says, where you sin against your own body. So when you get involved in a sexual relationship with somebody out of marriage, then you're sinning against your own body. You're defiling your temple. And there she was sleeping with and having sex with a boy that wasn't even a believer. So she's really defiling her temple. And she had three babies in 5 years with this boy. And I went three times and tried to convince her that this scripture. Now then, as you read this scripture, if it says if you defile the temple, God will destroy your temple, what does that literally mean he'll do to you? He'll kill you. Is that what he means, Kim? God will just kill you. I mean, the average person don't believe that, do they? Oh, God, he's a loving God. You know, God would never, he'll forgive me. Yes, he will, but you got to quit doing what you're doing. You got to, while you're still alive, you got to come to him and say, Lord, I repent. And I will turn from my wicked ways and I won't do this no more. If you're still alive, will he forgive you? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He'll forgive you. But then he says, now, just like the woman that was caught in adultery, after she was caught in adultery, when the Lord wrote on the ground and everybody left, and he said, woman, your accusers have all gone. And there's nobody accused you. Know? And she says, nobody, sir. And he said, well, I forgive you also. But what was his instructions to her? Go and do what? Oh, go and sin no more. Is that what he said? That's what he said. So, you know, that's kind of like the man in John 5:14, whenever he'd been sick for 38 years, and Jesus walked up to him and said, you know, he was an invalid. He couldn't even crawl. He said, do you want to be healed? And he said, well, you know, there's nobody to put me in the water. So I can't. And Jesus said, I didn't ask you that. I just want to know, do you want to be healed? And finally, Jesus just gave up on him and said, well, just get up and walk. And the man looked up at him kind of dumbfounded. And he says, well, if you want to be healed, get up, do something. And what did he do? He got up and he was healed. And so the man goes, and man, he's jumping up and down and screaming and hollering. Now, can you imagine? You've been an invalid for 38 years. Now you can walk. And so they said, how did this happen? He said, I don't know. The man just told me to get up and take up my bed and walk. And I did. And I was healed. And finally, he come back over there to look for him. And Jesus, he said, do you believe that I'm the Son of God? He said, Lord, I believe. He said, well, I'll tell you what. Now you leave your life of sin, or something worse is going to come upon you. Is that what he said, Bill?
That's exactly right.
You leave your life of sin. Now then, see, people don't realize that God commands us as his children to leave our lives of sin when we get saved. We're supposed to walk holy. There's not supposed to be any sin in our life. And if we will do that, then we'll be blessed. But this little girl broke God's rules. She was 15. Now she's like 21 or 22 years old, 5 or 6 years later, whatever it was. And I went the third time after the third baby was born. And I told her, I said, hey, I don't know how many times God's going to allow me to come tell you this before he kills you. And she said, Mr. Scrivener, God's a God of love. He'll never kill me. I said, honey, he says right there, he'll kill you. And she said, I don't believe that. Well, see, that's what's wrong with us. He makes an owner's manual and tells us what he will do, and both good and bad. Now, we love it when we read that Mark 11:24, don't we? When he says, whatever you desire when you pray, believe it's yours and it's yours. Amen. We love that, don't we, Mike? I love that too. And I've used that verse, just like Dave said, to get the flapper valve healed in my granddaughter's throat. That verse worked for me, but it took me 10 months to figure out how to use it. You know, it works, but sometimes if it took me 10 months to figure it out, it may take you 4 or 5 days anyway, you know, so, but it will work, right, Betty? It'll work. So anyway, I went to this little girl and tried and tried and tried to get her to repent, and she would not. And so after the third visit, the baby was about a month old, and her and that boy and that baby went to bed together one night, and here she is 21, 22 years old, and supposed to be in perfect health, not anything wrong with her that you can see. But the next morning, that boy woke up and that baby woke up, but that girl had had a massive heart attack in the middle of the night and she was stone dead. Just a coincidence. No. Who killed her? God did. Why did he kill her? Because of sin. She had been told three times, according to the written word of God, to straighten her act up. Now see, God said, meditate in the word. Re-meditate on it day and night, and then obey what you learn. And then after you obey what the word of God says, then he says your life will be prosperous, and then you'll have great success. Is that right? Like I said, all of us want to be prosperous and successful, but there's requirements. You can't live like you want to live if you're the way you want to live is contrary to the word of God. Because that little girl, in 5 or 6 years, it cost that little 21 or so year old girl her life. Now, is God a respecter of persons? No, he's not. So it makes no difference who you are. Now then, I will have to say that if God hadn't sent me over there three times, he might have given her 10 years. I don't know. But you know, he gives us warnings. Do y'all know that? God will send the right person by to tell you, hey, you know, I mean, I think about people that I run into, you know, I run into somebody, and let's just say Scott, for instance, let's say that, you know, I hadn't seen him in church in 3 months and I haven't seen him down here somewhere mowing grass. I said, hey, Scott, I hadn't seen you in church about 3 months. What's been wrong? Oh, Thurman, I've been so busy with my business. I have to work 7 days a week. I said, well, you know, I don't think God wants you to work 7 days a week. I think he wants you to take off and come to church. Well, yeah, but I ain't got time. Now, who do you think it was talking to him? God. Yeah, he was talking out of my mouth, wasn't he? Yeah. He was giving him a warning. Yeah. Now, he may send Mike by next month, you know, but after a few, three or four or five visits by somebody, if you don't straighten your act up and start coming back to church, something's going to happen to you, Scott. You know that?
Probably sooner.
Scott says probably sooner. I will have to say, with what you know about God's word, that's probably true, Scott. But I know with what you know about God's word, you ain't going to disobey God. You're going to be in church with your family and teaching them the word of God. Because he knows the word of God and he knows the importance of teaching it to his wife and his children. And if they want to walk in divine health, you know, they have to do it. They have to obey God. And so if we want to be prosperous and successful, we have to read the word of God. Now then, sometimes, as Dave was saying earlier there, that sometimes we take one of those scriptures like Mark 11:24, and it don't appear to work for us. We've all been down that road, haven't we? We've taken one of God's promises and tried to make it work, and it wouldn't work because either we were in unbelief or there was some kind of sin in our life that we didn't know about. We tried to get it to work, and it wouldn't work. Now then, when you finally figure out what the sin is that's keep preventing the Word of God from working, when you repent of that sin and then you're prayed for in faith with nothing wavering. Now see, you can find out what the sin is. You can be prayed for in faith. And then when you leave, you say, well, I know, but God's going to use medicine to heal me. No, he's not. I mean, he's not. He can if he wants to. But the chances of you receiving your healing taking medicine are going to be very remote. I know when I step out on that limb like that, there's some people saying, Thurman, you're crazy. I may be. But I'll tell you what, I sure do get to see God do a lot of healings. Just like I was telling the story about Weston. When Weston Blair, he was probably pretty close to 70 years old, 65 or 70 years old, when he was diagnosed with terminal cancer, stage 4. That's just before you die. A lot of times Weston's here, but today he's not here. He's out doing something else, I guess, but him and his wife. But anyway, when Weston came to me and told me he had stage 4 cancer, I told him, I said, Weston, I've learned 2 things that causes men to have cancer. And he said, what's that? I said, number 1 is you don't put God first. Now, how many men do you know that come to church, some of them every Sunday, but Monday through Saturday, they never read the Word, never open the Word, never talk about Jesus. I mean, they're business. You know, I mean, I got things to do. I got cars to work on, or I got airplanes to fly, or I got whatever you do. I'm a plumber. I got, you know, whatever you do, you ain't got time for God. After all, I give God an hour yesterday at church. What does he expect? Well, he expects 24/7. That's what he expects. If you hadn't figured that out yet, you'll figure it out sooner or later. So I said, it's usually that causes cancer in men. He said, well, that's not my case, because I'm a Baptist preacher and I'm in the Word. I read the Word. I study the Word. I believe the Word. I said, okay. The second thing is unforgiveness towards somebody. I said, do you have any unforgiveness? He said, I hate my father. I said, what did your father do? He said, he used to beat my mother. He would come in drunk. I've seen him time and time again throw my mother on the floor and pound her in the face with his fist. He said, I hated my dad. Well, I can understand. You know, I mean, I can understand. And I hate it that that poor woman had to stay with that guy. You know, that she had all the grounds in the world to leave him, but she didn't. Not probably because she didn't have no place to go and she had those kids and everything else. So, you know, she just put up with the abuse. And that's sad. Nobody should have to do that. But I told Weston, do you have any other unforgiveness? And he said, well, yeah, about three other guys. I said, okay, that's four. And God tells you, you can't hold any grudges against anybody. You have to forgive everybody from your heart. Now, where do you learn that principle? In the Word. That's exactly right. God says, if you do not forgive, neither will I forgive you, right? And if you don't forgive, I'll send a tormenting spirit to torment you. So do you want a demon tormenting every day? No, I don't want that either. But see, that's what had happened. He didn't know it. Now, since he didn't know it, he had had this hatred for this father and these other men, especially his dad, for years. Why did God give him so much time? Because nobody had ever told him. He didn't see it. He had not had that revelation. So here he is, 65 years old or whatever, when he's finally dying with cancer. Well, usually when a man gets stage 4 cancer at 65, the doctor just tell you, I'm sorry, you know, you get right with your family and everything and do whatever you never did get to do before, because in about 2 or 3 months, you're going to be out of here. Is that what they usually tell you?
Yeah.
Yeah, you know, so it's over. No, it don't have to be over yet. You know, God promised us a long, healthy life if we know the principles of the Word. So when I told him what was wrong, he said, well, I'll have to forgive those men, and I'll have to forgive my dad. I said, well, you don't have to. But if you don't, you ain't going to get well. You see, I'm not one of those feel-good preachers. I tell it to you exactly like it's written in God's Word.
Amen.
And so, praise the Lord. But anyway, he repented. He asked God to forgive him for having that hatred against his dad. He forgave those other three men and everything. And now then, once he's repented of the sin, I told him, I said, now let's take a verse like Mark 11:23 or 24, or one of those, I forget which verse we used, but I said, let's take one of those powerful verses and let's use that to base your faith on, and then I will pray for you in faith. I will break the curse, command the spirit of curse to leave you, and for you to be healed in the name of Jesus, and I pray for you in faith. It's done. I guarantee it. He said, wow, it's that simple? I said, it's that simple. I said, but now then, what are you going to do from this day forward? He said, well, I've got an appointment this next week with M.D. Anderson. I said, so what are you going to let them do? I said, well, you go down there. If the Louisville told you it was stage 4, you know what they're going to say. We need to start chemo and radiation immediately. You know, I had a lady at the healing school yesterday that was familiar with all this stuff, and I asked her what the chemo treatment, the two chemo pills cost, how much?
$3,000
just for the two pills that they give you for a chemo treatment. And by the time you got through with the treatment, each chemo treatment, how much did she say?
$30,000
for the. So every time you go in to have a chemo treatment, it costs you $30,000. That's what she said, right?
$38,000.
I think it was 30. I think she said everything was okay. So maybe I'm off $7,000 or $8,000, but you know, when you get that high, what's the difference? You know, I mean, you know, $8,000. What's $8,000 between friends when you get to $30,000? You ain't got it anyway, right? And so, I mean, so they're killing you. So that they give you a $30,000 treatment that's literally killing your body. And all they do is tell you, instead of dying in 2 months, you may make it 6 or 8 months. Well, forget it. If I'm only going to make it 6 or 8 months, I ain't spending, $180,000, you know, to try to get healed for 4 more months. I'd rather give that money to my family and let them enjoy it. And I'd rather just go ahead and go on to be with Jesus if I don't have the knowledge how to get healed. You know, so that's the way I look at it. So I'm not going to die in a hospital, folks. You know, I mean, if something were to happen to me, insurance were to take me to a hospital, and they started charging me those kind of money, I'd get up off that bed and give my wife a whooping. Oh, y'all see, you know what I mean, right? Of course, first of all, this girl would never take me to a hospital. If she prayed over me and I don't get well, we just die at home. That's the way it is, praise God. I ain't going to no hospital because I'm going to trust Jesus. And if he don't heal me and he takes me home, it's time for me to go home anyway. And so, because it is appointed unto man once to what? To die. So we're all going to die someday, you know. So, but anyway, I told Weston, I said, now when you go down to MD Anderson, I said, you know what they're going to want to do. He said, yes, I know what they're going to want to do. They want to want to start giving me chemo or radiation or both or something. I said, what are you going to do? I said, what? I said, I showed you in the Word, for you have to believe what we did with no doubt in your heart. So I said, if you believe with no doubt, then when you go down there and they confirm that you got this cancer, you're going to have to say, thank you, but no thank you. I know I have cancer, but I'm going to trust Jesus. I'm going to trust Jesus only. No medicine, no chemo pills, no radiation. I'm just going to trust Jesus and Jesus alone. Is that what he said?
Amen.
And so they went down there, and sure enough, that's exactly what they told him. You got to start chemo and radiation immediately, right now, today. And he said, no, I ain't doing it. I'm not taking nothing. I wanted to confirm with y'all that I had it. And so they said, well, you certainly have it, and you only got 2 or 3 months to live. And he said, well, I'm going to trust Jesus. It's over. Just me and Jesus. Now, what kind of faith does it take to do that? Either you're ready to die or you've trusted in Jesus. And so he was a great man of God and still is, of course. And, of course, he come back home. The doctor told him, he said, well, sir, if you're still alive in 6 months, come back and we'll check you again. So 6 months later, Weston went back down there and they checked him again. And the doctor said, what in the world are you doing? He said, I'm trusting Jesus. He said, well, you better bottle it and patent it. Because he said, what you have been doing will sell. Because he said, there's not a cancer cell in your body nowhere. And like I say, Weston's normally here on Sunday. A lot of the times he's here. And he usually sits right here on the front row with his wife and his daughter and everything when they come. But that's been about 7 years ago, and the man still has no cancer. Now, see, he was only going to live a few months at that time. But where did we learn all that information?
Word.
From the Word. And what the Word say, if we want to be prosperous and successful, we got to read the Word and meditate on it. How often?
Day and night.
Day and night, and then be obedient to do what it says, right?
Amen.
So if it tells you to forgive everybody from your heart, then what do you got to do? You got to forgive. What if you don't forgive? Oh, my goodness. Joe over there said, I think I know what that means. They cut your throat. You die. And it's true, isn't it? It will kill you if you disobey God's word. So if we obey his word and do what he says, we will be prosperous and successful, and we can live to who knows? I mean, you know, Moses lived to be 120. You know, I'm believing with all my heart that I can live to be 120.
Amen.
You know, I mean, I'm pretty well on the way already. You know, I'm fixing to be 75 pretty quick. So, you know, I'm getting along there pretty good. In fact, I was going into Home Depot the other day, and it was a much younger man than me. I was up walking along, and I was soaking wet with sweat. I mean, I'd been outside working all day. And there wasn't a dry thread on me. This guy walked out of his truck. He said, boy, you've been working today, haven't you? And I said, yes, sir, I have. And he said, boy, you're soaking wet with sweat. I said, yeah. I said, well, you got a little sweat on you, too. He said, yeah. He said, it's really something when you start getting old, having to work this hard. I said, well, I said, praise God, I'm glad I'm not old. He said, well, how old are you? I said, well, in December I'll be 75. He stopped and he said, no way. I said, yeah, I'm telling you the truth. He said, you can't possibly. He said, I look older than you do. And he said, I'm only 50. I said, I bet you're not in the Word of God as much as I am either. And he said, uh-oh, that's a problem. Now, you see how I've walked in divine health all these years? Did I obey God's Word? Yes. When I got in God's Word, did I obey what it says? Yes. Does it bring forth a healthy, successful life, Bill?
Yes.
It sure does. It works for you and me both, doesn't it?
Right.
It does. It works for both of us. So, now then, if any man defiles his temple, God shall destroy.